with residue removal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now it is my turn to talk about experimental data related to what the previous speaker was talking about. I worked with some colleagues at Kansas State and also at Fort Hays University, Fort Hays State University in Hays. And we looked at specifically the impacts of crop residue removal on water erosion. With that, I mean effects of crop residue removal on runoff, sediment, sediment-associated carbon, nutrient loss. Why is this topic important? Well, I guess we already know the importance of removing crop residues because of the heightened interest in producing cellulosic ethanol. The cellulosic ethanol is projected to increase exponentially in the next few decades to meet the high demands. The plan 30-30. 30% of increase on ethanol production by 2030. And the first cellulosic, you know, there are a number of cellulosic ethanol plants that have been you know, built, I guess, but the first one, it's gonna be finished in Hugoton, Kansas. It will start its operations in 2012. So that's the first cellulosic ethanol plant. 2012. How much crop residues will reduce? This is just a projection. About 2,500 tons crop residues. Well, switchgrass can be also used for the cellulosic ethanol plant, but we don't have a lot of you know, production of switchgrass right now at larger scale. So the focus is on crop residues. But this is my personal point of view. I'm not against the production of ethanol based on biomass. You know, I do think it's a great initiative, but we need to evaluate the impacts of removing crop residues, both positive and negative. And we need to base our opinions, I guess, on measured and unpredicted data as well. Well, some say, well, that's great news. We can now produce ethanol from something that we do not eat. This is waste. So it's time to give economic value to waste. That's what I have heard. But what about the soil and environmental impacts of crop residue removal? What about how sustainable is this? Is it really a good idea for farmers to remove some residues and sell as biofuel? So the impacts need to be looked at in terms of water quality, crop production. But what about if we just remove a fraction? What about like 50%? Do we have data on that? Well, that's what we tried to answer with this study on water erosion. So we need to look at the positive, both sides, you know, positive and negative. Because in some soils, obviously the positive aspect is producing domestic fuel. In some soils, you know, excessive residue cover can delay soil warming. Probably it can delay seed germination. So we might need to remove some in a few cases, but we need to have this permissible levels of removal, like how much, if it's that economically feasible, environmentally possible. The negative impacts, the projected negative impacts of crop residue removal are many. Look at that. So we specifically looked at water erosion. And obviously, that will affect the water pollution. So what we did is we removed wheat straw and sorghum residues from two soils in western Kansas. At what rates? At 0, 25, 50, 100% from two fields. We cut the stubble at different heights. that the initial height was there, then we cut at different heights, simulating these percentages. Then we applied them at 100, more than 100 millimeters per hour of rain for 30 minutes, simulates a return period of 25 years. And the slopes for the two soils were different, 6% for the wheat, no-till wheat field and 3% for the sorghum field. So we invited some students from Fort Hays State University when we were doing the simulations, and they were also helpful to collect some samples for the analysis. And here is our data. What happens with runoff? Zero removal and 100 removal. If you remove residues, you increase the time to runoff start. I mean, you reduce. The runoff will start much sooner if you remove residues. That's what I'm trying to say. Look at that. Zero removal, about 10 minutes. But if you remove everything, like 5 minutes, regardless of tillage system. We had this no-till, and we plowed some plots with the freshly till, simulating tillage effects. What about with the runoff amount? Highly variable. But if you remove high amounts of residue, you will also increase runoff. Runoff is highly variable, and we need to measure this carefully. So the impacts on runoff seem to be significant after 75% of residue removal. But let's look at other factors. Look at the sediment loss. This is no-till with all residues left. That water is it's cleaner than the rest, obviously. But no-till and 100% residue removal. It's not 20-year-old no-till soil, and we removed all the residues. Look at that. Here, the water sample, runoff sample, is as turbid as the sample from the tilled soil and 100% residue removal. And that's what the data shows. Sediment loss increases exponentially with an increase in residue removal. And this is the main point that I want to make. Look at this. This is the standard deviation. This is a no-till field, and this one is plowed. If you remove residues above 50% from no-till soils, your system, your no-till system, is no better than plowed soil. Look at this. It's the standard deviation. So no-till works if crop residues are present on the surface. So that's what this study shows, that crop residues are very important to no-till performance. What about carbon loss? We have been focusing a lot on runoff sediment. You know, there are hundreds of studies in comparing no-till versus plow-till. But we haven't looked at much the carbon loss in sediment, the sediment-associated carbon. And the same thing, look at this, this is the standard deviation. This is no-till field, the red dots, and the blue dots are the tilled soil. Look at that. If you remove more than above 25% of residue, you lose as much carbon as from a plowed soil. And you know what? I calculated, we submitted this manuscript to a journal, and where it has all the details. But if you, what I'm trying to say is, one single storm, we applied 111 millimeters per hour for half an hour. This one single rainstorm can eliminate all the gains in carbon after 20 years in no-till. One single storm. And the same thing for nutrients. Total nitrogen, total P, exponential increase in losses with increase in residue removal. So there are two ways here. When we remove residues, we are losing residues, not only with residues that we are removing it, but also by increasing soil erosion. So that's important. We need to come up with a nutrient budget for residue removal from different cropping systems. And I just want to share some of you know, I moved from Ohio. I worked in Ohio for several years. Then I did kind of a similar study. And we had three sites there, Dr. Lal and Cipitalo and Dr. Owens, and we had these three sites. I didn't get the chance to do the rainfall simulations, but I wanted to share the water infiltration, which is a parameter to estimate runoff. Look at this. In sloping soils, you know, we had these different rates of residue removal. Look at the sloping soils. Residue removal, what, 100% of residue removal at the here, at the bottom? Reduces water infiltration. So what it's saying is, you know, if you remove residues, you reduce infiltration, and therefore you increase runoff. But in clay soils, you know, this is a 3-year data. So in clay soils, you know, these soils are flat, and they take longer time for the residue removal to take effect. But the impacts of residue removal were more rapid in sloping silt loam than in flat and clay soils. And there are other studies there. I need to acknowledge Dr. Lindstrom. In 1986, he published a paper that, where he had different amounts of residue on the soil surface and measured runoff, the same thing. Runoff and sediment loss decreases with increase in crop residue cover. Well, what did we learn this morning from this short presentation? Is that residue removal will increase exponentially what? Losses of runoff, sediment, carbon, nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus specifically. And if you remove, you know, about 50 or about 50% of residues, you might lose all the carbon that you stored with the no-till system. So this has to be looked at more in detail. You know, no-till, you know, stores obviously carbon, you know, more than plow-till in the near surface layers from like 0 to 2 inches. But, you know, that's the section, that's the layer that will be impacted more for, you know, by raindrops, and will be that carbon accumulated near the surface layers will be lost more rapidly. So what about, so from this study, short study, rainfall simulation studies, about 25% of residue removal might be available. 25% of residue for removal might be available. Well, is that enough? Is that economically feasible? I don't think so. How can we remove only 25%? Farmers might remove like 50 probably. So we need to look at other alternatives. You know, other bioenergy crops as an alternative to crop residue removal. Well, thanks for your attention, and I guess I will have time probably for one question. Yes?
Yeah, I have a question. You, in the presentation, you give the results about the runoff from biomass removed. Mm-hmm. Did you try like the biomass, like a feedstock removed with cover crops?
Specifically, this is just the initial step where we remove crop residues after harvest. Now the plan is to remove biomass from switchgrass and from forage grass, you know, at different heights as well, so we can simulate, you know, runoff and sediment and things like that. So that's the next step. But so far we have that for crop residues. Precipitation, like in Hayes, we're getting like 19 inches you know, per year. But we do have, lately, I mean, we have been getting these very strong storms. And that could be like, we applied this 111 millimeters per hour. That simulates 25-year return period. And next step is to look at this at different intensities. That's what we're planning to do, like 1 inch, 1 inch, 2 inch, and 3 inches, so we can have the residue removal impacts on soil erosion. Oh, that's right.
It's the same footprint.